Today, he's Charlie Denver is accompanied by Bob Anier from Colorado, and he has asked that they share the mic during their 15 minutes. So, you gentlemen, come up.
I am Bob Anier, a member of Colorado Right to Life, and one of the co-signers with Colorado Right to Life of the ad that was just mentioned. You have to be pretty angry as a pro-life organization to threaten to sue another pro-life organization, and it's my job to explain to you why we are angry. Colorado Right to Life put National Right to Life on notice of an intent to sue, partly because of fraudulent fundraising. Dr. Dobson, on Monday, put on his website in writing and sent out an email blast to hundreds of thousands of pro-lifers that the partial birth abortion ban does not save a single baby, not one. We have been documenting that admission from leader after leader in the pro-life movement after 15 years since that technique was introduced through the media. We've been documenting the truth after 15 years of an effort that has raised over $250 million by our major pro-life leaders and organizations. And only now, after all that time was wasted and all that money raised, only now are our leaders being compelled to admit the truth that this effort resulted in a ban and a ruling that does not have the authority to save one innocent child. And that should have been told to the donors from the beginning. It's time to evaluate the quarter century strategy and goals of National Right to Life. Two strategy goals. First, since Republicans tend to be pro-life, by electing them,
Madam Chair,
I would like to explain why you have been put on notice for this lawsuit.
That's not the purpose of the presentation.
Well, sure it is. We are being disenfranchised from Colorado Right to Life because of our strategy disagreement with the committee. And if you don't want to hear what our strategy disagreement is, then perhaps you could stop this message. But this is an 8-minute message that I beg you to listen to.
Now, Presenter is within his bounds. Thank you.
National Right to Life has a two-pronged strategy. First, since Republicans tend to be pro-life, by electing them, we will get judges who honor a culture of life. Two, if we regulate child killing, there will be virtually no downside, and we will end abortion more quickly. Here's the reality. Remember that it was a Republican governor of Colorado, John Love, who signed the first law permitting abortion for rape, incest, and health. Remember, it was a Republican justice, Harry Blackmun, who wrote Roe v. Wade. Remember that it was a Republican majority who voted the 7-2 Roe v. Wade law into force. It is a Republican judge who wrote the recent Ninth Circuit ruling against the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. The federal judiciary is overwhelmingly pro-choice. If you've noticed that, recall that Republican presidents have nominated 60% of the federal judiciary. 60% are our judges from our pro-life presidents, and they are overwhelmingly pro-choice. Terri Schiavo was killed by judicial fiat. And did you notice who the judges were who ruled to kill her, starting with George Greer, Republican pro-life judge? It went to the 11th Circuit. We have six judges on the 11th Circuit, appointed by Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush. We have six judges. They could have stopped it. Every one of them voted to allow Terri Schiavo to be killed. All six of our Republican pro-life judges, including William Pryor. Seven of the nine Supreme Court justices sitting today are Republican justices, and not one supports personhood. Not one. Pro-lifers are deceived into thinking, for example, that Antonin Scalia is pro-life. But I want to quote to you what he said at the Pew Forum in 2002. He said this. He said, "I will strike down a law that is the opposite of Roe v. Wade." Those who want every state to prohibit abortion are wrong. That's what Antonin Scalia said at the Pew Forum. No state has the right to set up extermination camps or abortion clinics. The misguided strategy of the pro-life movement by regulating child killing has destroyed the ability of pro-lifers to understand right from wrong, and we can't even any longer discern what it means to be pro-life. The partial birth abortion ruling did not ban partial birth abortion. It modified it by 4 inches, repeatedly stating that the abortionist could pull the baby out to the navel and then kill the baby. That is not a ban. They say the abortionist could do a partial birth abortion, a standard textbook one if the mother's overdilated and the baby comes out to the neck and they could kill it. And these things have been obvious since the beginning of the ban. And we have provided cover to pro-choice politicians, even Democrats, who would say, I'm not an extremist. I supported the partial birth abortion ban. We wasted 15 years while 20 million kids have died. We spent $250 million as an industry for a ban that does not have the authority to save one life. You guys are worried about what's growing out in Colorado. I'll tell you what's growing in Washington, D.C. It's called the abortion weed. Child killing regulations, that's what National Right to Life is really good at. Child killing regulations prune the abortion weed and strengthen its roots.
It's directed that during this time that we would not have a speaker that would be going against or taking issue with the aims and goals of National Right to Life. And calling National Right to Life an organization that supports child killing.
No, I didn't say that, sir. Child killing regulations.
You said it's right.
Child killing regulations. Of course, National Right to Life seeks to eventually uphold the personhood of the child, but National Right to Life supports child killing regulations. And I'm almost done. Child killing regulations prune the abortion weed and strengthen its root. This approach makes abortion appear more humane. We don't have partial birth abortion. And it makes it appear more reasonable to the voting public and our officials because there are waiting periods and parental consent. Yet National Right to Life has never once, as far as we can document, even acknowledged the potential downside of child killing regulations. I'd like to quote to you from the Indiana Code on Informed Consent, Title 16, Section 34. Abortion shall be criminal. This will keep abortion legal in Indiana once Roe v. Wade is overturned. Our laws will keep abortion legal. And I'll quote to you from Professor Charles Rice, Notre Dame Law School, who has stated explicitly that when Roe v. Wade is overturned, hundreds of our pro-life laws will keep abortion legal. Here's an example from Indiana, Title 16. Abortion shall be a criminal act except if the woman has filed her consent. What that means is the day Roe v. Wade is overturned, that one, there are hundreds, that one pro-life law will keep abortion legal in Indiana. And I have a question for you. How many children will be killed after Roe v. Wade is overturned by the authority of our pro-life laws? Dr. Rice said, and I quote, if the court says the states can regulate abortion, that's the equivalent of overturning Roe v. Wade, then to protect the right to life, you would have to get rid of the pro-life abortion laws. Because in Indiana, they could continue killing children by our authority that we put on the books. And I ask you this, have you once heard that brought up as a concern by Wanda Franz, once? Have you once heard that brought up as a concern by this committee, National Right to Life? How many months, years, or decades will it take us to repeal our pro-life laws? Sir, you're laughing. You're laughing. Do you think that when the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, that that law will not keep abortion legal in Indiana? It will.
No.
We actually have a right to Bob.
And I'm done.